Cape Talk.
DIY.
As we continue our live broadcast from Usasazu High School in Khayelitsha, where Melon Educate has hundreds of volunteers on site transforming the school. It's the first time I've ever seen Angelo in his natural element. He put on a hard hat and his face was transformed. It is a general segment today where you can phone in with any DIY question for our favorite DIY guy, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Your calls to 021-446-0567, and remember, you're welcome to leave a question as a voice note on 072-567-1567. Angela, before we take any calls or questions, we get a chat to one or two of the volunteers, but you had a quick chance to walk around the site and take a look, cast your builder's eye over it. What do you think?
Well, I did. I was just amazed. First of all, when you walk onto the site and you just see all these different color shirts, it's amazing. It's so bright. Everyone's working like little ants, just passing roof tiles, painting, putting up ceiling boards. It's amazing. It's great to see.
And it's amazing to see all the different streams of work happening in parallel. I mean, to put up an entire building in 2 days sounds almost impossible, but it has been done.
It takes us a long time to organize one item. To try and organize all these different trades at once takes a lot of work.
So hats off to the foreman Andy we met earlier, helping keep it all ticking together. I have to say thank you. Bernie and Justine are already in on Twitter saying we're there with you building in November. It would be great if we could get more Cape Talk listeners to do the same. I really would look forward to that. I want to chat to a couple of the volunteers who are here to find out their story and what they're doing here. And we're going to start with a yellow t-shirt with Lucy. I think that means it's your first build. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Dublin and I'm 16.
You're only 16 years old. Yeah. Are you here with family members or
yeah, I'm here with my mum.
Okay, and what made you decide to come down?
Well, I've always wanted to do something like this, like since I was really young. And the perfect opportunity arose when, like, about 3 weeks before I, like, wanted to come.
Okay, and what have you been doing on site this week?
Mostly painting.
Okay, so how's your painting technique? Has it come on in leaps and bounds?
It's improved.
Okay, and what have you found most challenging or surprising about the experience?
Well, we went on a visit to the towns, and I found that quite, like, sad and challenging, but, you know, it kind of motivated me a bit.
Mm. To know that you're making a difference,
yeah, exactly.
Just by being here.
Yeah.
I mean, Lucy, do you have any idea of where you go? I mean, you're still very young. You must still be at school, I assume. Are you on school holidays at the moment?
No.
Or have you taken off school?
A week off, yeah.
Okay, I quite like that idea. I mean, is this something that you think is going to impact on your life going forward? Are you going to walk away from South Africa with a new perspective on the world and what you want to do in it?
Yeah, completely. I'll probably be back next year as well. So.
That's fantastic. Well, what colour t-shirt do you get next year then?
I think I got blue.
Okay. Yeah. So for those who might have joined us late and are wondering why we're going on about the color of t-shirts, everyone here is color-coded according to how many builds they've done in the past. They've got stripes on their sleeves. They've got different colored t-shirts, whether it's their first build, their second, third, fourth, and in some cases 15th for those who've been here every year. Lucy, we're delighted to have you here. Thanks for visiting Cape Talk and popping into our studio. I'd like to hand the microphone over or swap the chairs over, if I may, to one of the foremen. I know that it's a white t-shirt and I've only seen three of those on site. Vera, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
How long have you been involved with Melon Educate?
This is my 13th Blitz.
So almost since the beginning, okay.
Yes, 2005 was my first Blitz out in Imazama Yetu.
And how did you first come to know of it and get involved?
I am involved in the building trade back home. Mm-hmm. And a gentleman asked me for sponsorship 1 year, and he told me about the charity that he was looking for sponsorship for. And I thought it sounded just fantastic, and I wanted to get involved. So I asked him to give me all the details, which he did. So I filled in the application form and got accepted and came out myself the next year, which was 2005.
Okay, and you've been volunteering ever since. How long have you been operating as the foreman on site?
For the last 3 years, I've been operating as painting foreman. So I just tried to coordinate what painting needs to be done and move the mostly ladies painting, move them around from room to room and try and get them completed as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible.
You do really work at speed, watching the teams slapping on the bright blue paint on the building behind me earlier. I was amazed at how quickly they were covering it. So there are clearly some skills being developed here. I mean, for you, Vera, the paint itself, all the equipment and tools and things that you're using, does all of that come with you from Ireland, or do you source some of it locally?
No, most of it has is being sourced locally here, which is great. And I have to say, the organisation recognition from the locals this year has been just fantastic. There's very, very little in the container that we need now that we can't get, whereas before it used to be quite difficult. But definitely everything is in place for us, and the staff here have been just fantastic getting everything in place for us.
Will you come back again?
Most definitely.
What is it that keeps you coming back year after year?
I always wanted to be involved in something like this. The fact that we just have to go for 10 days. I have my youngest daughter now is just finished college, and up until now, 10 days, to be able to take 10 days off or a week to 10 days off was just about the most I could do. So it gave me the opportunity to do that. So I just love it, and there's no doubt I will be back and hope to continue.
I'm laughing because most moms, when presented with the opportunity for 10 days off, would run to a desert island with a book and a gin and tonic. They wouldn't come here and put sweat into 10 days of labour. But clearly, it's clearly had a lot of meaning for you.
A huge amount. I'm self-employed. We're self-employed myself and my husband at home, so for that reason it is a great holiday because you just completely forget about everything that you're doing back home. So it's a break, no doubt.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. Thanks for joining us, Vera. Thank you to you and all the volunteers for what you're doing here today. It is amazing to see a school taking shape behind us as quickly as it is, and we're so glad that you've been here.
Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you join us next year.
Can't wait. Really can't wait, and I really do mean that. I can't wait. I'm going to hand back to Angelo at this point. We've got some questions already coming through on our email and SMS line. Just a reminder that you can also call in with a DIY question of any type on 021-446-0567. The painting technique, I mean, we talk about paint all the time, Angelo, and where people go wrong, and we're always having questions about what kind of paint for what sort of facility. Here you're looking at buildings that have got to be really hardy, that have got to be able to withstand the elements that nature throws at them and the elements that kids throw at them. For a big outdoor space, what's the kind of paint that you recommend?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're actually looking for. You know, first of all, are we doing sheen or are we doing matte? Okay, sheen coatings generally have a better lifespan. Okay, they're easier to clean, etc. So that's probably the way to go. But it's also got to do with the type of primer that you're using, etc. So there's a number of questions that need to be answered before you choose the type of product. Then, of course, it is cost. Yep. As well, because paint can be very expensive. You can get paint for 500 rand, you can get paint for 1900 rand a drum, 20 litre drum. So they have different functions, and the cost varies accordingly. Mm.
I know you're all about preparing the surface properly and making sure that you leave enough time for the coats to dry in between. And I saw your eyebrows shoot up when you walked in because there were people painting on one side of the site and then somebody was grinding with an angle grinder upwind. And I saw your eyebrows shoot up. Obviously, it's very carefully managed here how they have to fit all those processes in simultaneously. You'd never do that on your site, though, would you?
Well, you know, I shouldn't judge because...
You don't have to build in 2 days.
I don't have to build in 2 days, and we don't have to redecorate buildings in 2 days. And what these guys are doing are just, it's fantastic. Mm. So, you know, if there's a little bit of dust on the paint, I don't think anybody's going to worry.
Yeah, okay. Our first question is through from Amanda on the email, and then we'll hear from another volunteer in just a moment. But Amanda has, it's not a paint issue, it's a carpet issue. A house that's 4 years old, she says, but already my carpet looks horrible. There are 3 spots where it's worn down almost to the pad, and I would like to patch them. I do have spare carpet that I can use of the same type, but she doesn't know how to go about doing the repair. She says one of the patches is in the middle of the floor, one is on the seam in a doorway between 2 carpeted rooms, and the third is on a seam between a carpeted room and a floor. Oh dear, that's about as complicated as it gets.
Well, okay, so she has to obviously identify the size of the patch, cut it out, and then then obviously clean and cut away. I'm not sure how long the nap is on the hair.
We don't know.
But so what she'll do is she'll cut the patch to match the hole that she's just cut, and then what I would do is put in some double-sided tape. Make sure the double-sided tape goes in underneath the remaining part, so not the area that's been cut, and she can stick it down, trim the nap, and she should be fine.
Okay, so good luck to you, Amanda. I hope it comes right, and maybe if you need some extra advice, send us a couple of photographs and we can pass them on to Angelo. And then a question on Facebook from another Philippa, and saying, excuse me if this is a stupid question. Philippa, you should know by now there is no such thing as a stupid question on this show, because nobody can possibly know any less than I do. So in this case, I don't even know what you are talking about. I'm hoping Angelo can explain. Philippa writes, I like the look of tray ceilings. And the question is, can they be installed retrospectively, or does it have to be put in when you first put the ceiling in? What is a tray ceiling, okay, Angelo? So help me.
A tray ceiling basically is a ceiling that sort of slopes upward. Okay, so it looks like an inverted tray. Right, so to retrofit can be a little bit difficult because you would have to work with trusses, etc. It normally happens on a new build, and that would have to be incorporated in part of the design. You can, however, go to someone like Gypsum, and they have different types of drywalling systems that you can use to build a false tray
that sits over your existing ceiling.
Sure, but right. You need to remember, you need to take into account how high your ceiling is and what it's going to do, how much is it going to drop your ceiling, etc. So there are a number of items that you need to take into account.
Okay. Philippa, sounds like you can get creative there if you're prepared to put in the cost involved, but good luck if you choose to go that route. We're taking your general DIY questions on 021-446-0567. Your SMS is to 31567. Up next, a couple of blue shirts I'm going to start with, and I'm hoping I'm going to pronounce your name correctly. Is it Turlock?
That's correct. Yes, Turlock.
Welcome to the show. How long have you been, how many stripes on your shirt there?
Good for 9.
You. Okay. Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Getting involved in the charity. It was a friend of mine that continually asked me to come out, and eventually in 2009, I actually ran out of excuses not to come out. So I started in the township of Wallastine, and a lot of the veterans here who, you know, will remember Wallastine in the rain. And I can kind of remember a couple of days into the build, and I was kind of going, I'm not really getting this whole African experience. I'm on a building site in the rain with a load of Irish people. I could have done that at home, you know. But yeah, I'm still coming back. So haven't missed a year since. And it's one of the highlights of my year. I love
really?
It. You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing. It speaks volumes that you've come back every year since. What sort of work are you doing on site?
Ceilings is what I kind of got pigeonholed into doing there early on. But as you can see, we arrive out here, and well, to put a ceiling up, it needs to go onto a roof.
Yeah.
So there was no roofs. So I've been doing a bit of roofing, helping the guys up on the roofs to get the roofs up, so that we had something to hang our ceilings from. So,
fair enough. I mean, everyone's very careful about safety on site, and the foreman was telling me earlier that you don't allow anyone in a yellow shirt onto the roof. You've got to have kind of earned your stripes a bit, had some experience before you get into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see also the minute we arrived on site, we were presented with hard hats, told don't go anywhere without them. You obviously have to take it very seriously.
When you're up on the roofs, we're all subject to gravity, and this year I know we're putting safety nets up actually before we even actually got to putting up the trusses stage. We had to install safety nets. They were they think they're here, but the last maybe two or three blitzes, it's extra health and safety. And I know the guys in the charity, they want us to go home with 10 fingers and 10 toes.
I met your doctor earlier, Dr. Reed, and I was told emphatically that everybody on site here is on an equal standing except for Dr. Rita. I was told there are 300 volunteers, there's Niall Mellon, and then there's Dr. Rita, and even he does what she says. Is that true?
Yes, Dr. Rita is the boss, yes.
How often do you have, you must have hammered fingers and bruises and bumps and the odd cut and scratch. Have you ever seen any sort of serious injuries in the years you've been coming out?
There was an incident that I was involved in a couple of years ago, and that was when we were doing ceilings, and I was using a nail gun, bang, and I popped up a nail, and I said, no, that didn't fire. And next thing, one of the guys standing on the ground behind me goes, yes, it did. And poor old Philly there, the nail bounced, ricocheted, and hit him on the shoulder.
Okay, but what happened?
But it was fine. It was just a bit of a scratch. Dr. Rita fixed her up, and I was kind of put on probation with nail guns for a while. You know?
Sounds like a good plan. I mean, what is it that keeps you coming back year after year?
You have to ask that question. I mean, it's just look around you. Mm. There's all these people here, and then obviously outside of the tent here, it's the kids, it's the families. You know, it's meeting people. Like, we are so privileged. Mm. When you go home, you realise, you know. What you think you what you think is a problem, or what you think is a complaint, it's nothing.
New perspective on everything.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for coming back year after year, and thanks for popping into our studio
thank
to
you
chat
very much.
To us.
Cheers. Thank you.
So that's the light blue shirt, and now I'm going to ask the dark blue shirt to step up. It's two stripes. So is this build number 3 for you? Welcome to the studio, Isabel.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about yourself.
I'm 18, I'm from Dublin, and I'm at university at the minute, and this is my second building lift.
Okay, and 18 years old, did you come here on your own the first time, or did you come with family?
No, my dad comes here every year, this is his 10th trip this year, and kind of just hearing about it over the years, I was always on my bucket list to do, and last year I got the opportunity to do it, and I just kind of decided, why not come out? I think a lot of people come out of curiosity to see what it is, to see what the hype is about it, but the reason you keep coming back is the kids that you see here. It's the faces, it's the happy faces that you see every day welcoming you, giving you a hug, asking, just wanting to touch your hand. It's amazing. It's amazing to see the kids every day.
I don't have to ask what you're doing on site because you splattered and paint from head to toe. So I assume you're one of the painting
people. Yeah, I'm on the painting team as well.
And I mean, what's it like to be on site if you come here as a novice, not having done much building work or anything of the sort beforehand? How quickly do you pick up the skills you need?
You pick it up really quickly. The atmosphere on site is incredible. If anyone sees anyone else struggling, they come over, they say, just do it like this, help you like that. It's amazing to see all the veterans and how patient they are with all the new people. I tried plastering last year. I was awful, but the plasterers were patient with me for the 2 days that I did it. And it's amazing to see the helpful atmosphere. You don't meet a group of people like this by accident. There's only one type of person that comes to do this. And I think it's crazy. I've never come to a place where there's 100 people that say good morning to you every morning. And we're just one big family and everyone helps each other to get through the 10 days.
So will you go back to uni in Dublin and encourage your friends to come back with you next year?
Definitely. I've been at them for a year and a few of them are looking towards it. And if we can all fundraise together, we're hoping that there's 1 year we can all come out together because it's an amazing experience and it's something that I feel everyone across the world should have to come and see for yourself because you don't understand it until you see it with your own eyes.
Well, I hope we'll see you there next year.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
For popping in to chat to us. Isabel, 18 years old from Dublin, so the second relatively young builder, part of the team. It is a team that there is no standard builder looking around here. There are people of all shapes and sizes and ages all around us. Angela, we must keep on addressing questions for our listeners as well, in between meeting volunteers. If I can, seeing as we're talking about paint, a couple of questions have come in on the subject of paint, including one Old Faithful. It gets asked regularly, but I think it needs to be answered regularly, and that's Tony asking on the email, how do I keep my paintbrushes and rollers in good condition? Because mine seem to get tatty really quickly.
Sorry, I just feel like a movie star holding a mic here. Okay, so there are various, obviously you need to clean it. What I normally do with my equipment, and once it's cleaned, I wrap it in plastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, tight in cling film, and then I keep it like that. If you are using the brush and you need to go for a break, for example, for 10 minutes, you could leave it in the tin if you want, but otherwise, take it out and wrap it in a plastic shopping bag. Mm-hmm. And that will prevent the paint from drying and will give you longer lifespan of the brush or the roller.
Okay.
But generally clean properly. I normally clean and then I use a little bit of sunlight soap and water, clean it out, and then I wrap it in cling film
and then a plastic, yeah. Plastic paper bag. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Pete in Claremont, for the SMS saying, what an inspiring story. I'd love to help out next year, but it's a really busy time at school. So it's a maybe from Pete. We've got a yes from Justine and a yes from Bernie on Twitter already. I'm going to start recruiting now for next year's Melon Educate build. I've got a yes from Angelo as well.
Okay, yes.
We didn't give him any choice, but he actually volunteered before I told him that. So that's great. Okay, back to the paint. Kenzo sending a WhatsApp saying, I find it hard to choose paint colors based on swatches. They never end up looking on the wall as I think they will. What's your advice?
Okay, so paint swatches are simply there to give you an idea. Once you've got an idea, you must buy some samples, or maybe the paint manufacturer will give you some samples, and apply some of the paint onto the wall. A square meter by a square meter, a meter by meter. Do that, and that'll give you, and in a place where you can see it in the morning sun, in the afternoon, and in the evening, and that will give you a better idea of what the color will look like. Remember, if you've got a lighter background to it, the color appears darker, and if you have a darker background, the color simply seems slightly lighter than what the end effect will be. That's important.
Okay. Margaret, it's still on paint today. We seem to have a lot of paint-related questions. Margaret asking if you can recommend a kind of paint or even a specific brand for burglar bars and security gates that will cover rust. Well, I know you're going to say you don't cover rust. You've got to take it off first, don't you?
Yeah, well, you need to treat the rust. You know, it depends how bad it is. Some of it you need to take down with a wire brush. Some of it you could use a rust neutralizer, depending on the depth and the intensity of the rust. But there's a Hammerite product that you can use, which I think is from the UK, and that they sell that as a product that can go directly onto light rust. Okay. Otherwise, okay, if you've treated the rust, you could use any sort of water-based enamel system. That will work perfectly well. Or a type of a roof paint as well, because that's got better elasticity, so it expands with the metal, which is something people forget, that metal expands. So that's the way I would go. All brands sell those products. So it's a matter of whichever brand you prefer, go and find the right product.
Okay, thanks. Good luck to you, Margaret. And then... you can never predict the questions that come through. Here's a really different one from Gavin, whose postbox was stolen last week. Sorry, Gavin. He wants to try and make his own replacement. I'm sorry, I admire your creativity. I'm just trying to imagine where I would start if I was trying to build the postbox, and I guess that is what he's asking. He wants to make his own replacement out of wood scraps and old metal, and wants to know, is there a standard size to be followed or any rules he needs to know of?
Okay, well, I'm afraid you've got me there, but I would suggest that you take the average size of an envelope and make your postbox slightly bigger than that. I mean, guys, there's many. There's plastic. There's the old wooden ones that they seem to be moving away from now. Mm-hmm. But those aren't very big. Sort of 20% wider than a standard letter that you would get, a bill letter. So unfortunately, I don't have those details with me. But Okay. Just make it as big as you want. Okay. If you're getting a lot of emails, I mean a lot of posts, then...
Then you need a bigger post box, Gavin. Okay, and send us a photograph when it's done, please. We've got to go to ads, but I'm very quickly going to squeeze in just one call from Robbie in Simonstown. I'm going to have to ask you to keep it very short. Robbie, good afternoon.
Yeah, just quickly, I'm going to paint a roof, and now with the water restrictions, I've got this yellow fungus on the roof. How do I get it off without using an HP water cleaner before I paint the roof?
Okay, so unfortunately you're going to have to get it off, otherwise your coating's going to fail. So what I suggest you do is you go and get an antifungal solution from a hardware store. You block brush that on, you just put it on with a brush, leave it, sometimes it needs two coats, let it stand, and then just take a bucket of water with a nylon brush, okay, and give the roof a scrub. That will clean it for you.
Robbie, thanks for your call. I hope it comes right. Angelo, thank you so much for coming out to join us here today. It's been great to have you with us.
So nice to be here.
Nice to see you in a hard hat. We'll do it again in November.
Cheers.